Hi, this is Pastor Raul Reese, and I want to thank you so much for listening to Somebody Loves Your Radio. For me, it's been a real blessing to see what God has done in all the years that I've been going across America and sharing the gospel and teaching the Word of God into your living room, in your car. Wherever you are, the Word of God has gotten to you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Thank you so much.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. In his lifelong service to the Lord, Raul has consistently found wisdom and power from walking in step with the Holy Spirit. For inspiration to seek God's guidance on your spiritual journey, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165 for a free DVD that shares Raul's personal testimony. Today's lesson from Raul continues our study of 1 Chronicles. We'll take a cautionary look at a time when David ignored God's instructions. Now, his motives were right, but he didn't follow God's plan, and the consequences were tragic. Stay with us here on Somebody Loves You Radio for encouragement to listen for the Lord's leading and seek counsel from His Word, not jumping ahead or making assumptions about His will. Here's Raul Reese now in 1 Chronicles chapter 12.
In chapter 11, we dealt with those individuals who identified themselves with David. And now in chapter 12, we deal with primarily with those tribes along with the captains and ally themselves with the King David, and they're coming to him now. Now, this is a particular time where in the story in Samuel where David was fleeing from Saul, the king. Saul always wanted to kill David. Jealous of David. It's amazing that Saul was anointed by God, but at the same time, he was elected by men. It was men's choice, not God's choice. But here we see that Saul is still alive. He is pursuing after David. Chapter 12, beginning with verse 1, it says, "Now these were the men who came to David at Ziklath, which is south of Jerusalem. And while he was still a fugitive from Saul, the son of Kish, and they were among the mighty men, helpers in the war." So what happened here now is that David is out in the wilderness, and eventually people that saw David's integrity in David's life, and they were watching Saul, they said, "Hey, you know what? I want to fight for David. I want to join his ranks." And so David never recruited anybody to himself. The Lord put it in the heart of those people to come to David as David began to build an army for himself. This is what we see here. And then in verse 2 it says, "An arm with bows, using both the right hand and the left in hurling stones." These were really great fighters. They could take a slingshot with the right hand or the left hand and hit bullseye. So they've been practicing since they were little kids, professional fighters. He says, "And also they were shooting arrows with the bow, and they were of Benjamin, Saul's brethren." The Benjamites were tough, tough people. They could shoot the bow and they could get the slingshot with their right hand or their left hand and get anybody that they wanted to fight against them and kill them. Verse 3. And then these are the men that he's going to talk to us about now. This is the chief who was Ahizir, Joash, the son of Shimech, the Gibeonite, Jesiel. And all these names in verse 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 and 7. And in verse 8 it says, "And some of the Gedites joined David at the stronghold in the wilderness, mighty men of valor, men trained for battle, who could handle the shield and the spear, and whose faces were like the faces of lions, and were as swift as gazelles on the mountains." These guys were the best. And the Lord was bringing them to David, which is so cool here. And then verse 9, 10, and 11, 12, and 13 gives you some other names. In verse 14, he says that these were the sons of Gad, captain of the army. The least was over 100, and the greater was over 1,000. So they were by ranks and by numbers. Verse 15. And these are the ones who crossed the Jordan in the first month, which was around the end of March. And when it was overflowing all its banks, and they put to flight all those in the valleys to the west. And then some of the sons of Benjamin and Judah came to David at the stronghold. And David went out to meet them and answered and said to them, "If you have come peaceably to me to help me, my heart will be united with you. But if you come to betray me to my enemies, since there is no wrong in my hands, may God of our fathers look to bring judgment upon you." Now here David kind of seizes the moment for just a little bit here. And this is something important that David says here, because he wants people to be in his army, not with a divided heart or a divided mind, but he wants to be one with them. And he wants them to be one with him. Otherwise, how can you fight the battles? Or how can you even survive? And so David wanted to have the best, but he also wanted unity among his army so that when they would go into battle, there would be no betrayals. So he says, if you came to become of one heart and one mind, cool, you're with us. But if you've come to betray me to my enemies, since there is no wrong in my hands, then may the God of our fathers look and bring judgment on you. Notice that. David here turns them over to the Lord, but does not seek for revenge against them, but he trusts in his God. I think that's something good for us to learn from David. Because many times when something happens to us or someone comes against us or our family, first thing we want to do is seek revenge. And yet if we are Christians and we are believers, let us pursue the Lord and let us trust in the Lord. Why? Because he can do a better job than we can in taking care of our enemies. Sure, we would like to get rid of our enemies, but God has better ways than that. You see, just trust in the Lord like David did. Verse 18. And then the Spirit came upon Amaziah, chief of the captains, and he said, "We are yours, O David. We are on your side, O son of Jesse. Peace, peace to you and peace to your helpers. For your God helps you." And so David received them and made them captains and troops. Did you notice something there in that verse? That as these people now turn with David, what's the place it takes here? It says that God's Spirit was already working in the life and the heart of Amaziah. Imagine that. How cool God works here. We see this beautiful thing here where the Lord is not only in command, but the Lord already has been working through his Holy Spirit in the hearts of these people to come and join David's army. And that's the way I feel in my own personal life. When people come to Calvary Chapel and they become part of the congregation and they become part of the staff here in Calvary Chapel, or they become missionaries, that it's so cool to be able to see people, not from the outside, but from within the church, as God brings us men like-minded, and the vision and the love and the unity, so that we can fight our spiritual battles together and we're not divided. We're of one heart. That's the only way a church or a ministry and even a corporation can really survive. Otherwise, you have major problems if people are not like-minded. You see? So we see that here with David. Verse 19. And then some from Manasseh defected to David when he was going with the Philistines to battle against Saul. But they did not help them, for the Lord of the Philistines sent him away by agreement, saying, "He may defect to his master Saul and endanger our heads." Now, David was with the Philistines for a little while when he was fleeing from Saul. And the Philistines received him, and those were Israel's enemies. But some of the Philistine leaders said, you know what? We're going to go out to the battle, and I don't think it'd be a good idea for David to go out with us, because who knows, in the midst of the battle, if we're fighting against Saul, you know, that's David's people, he'll turn against us. And so we'd rather not him go. But you see, it wasn't really the Philistines. The Lord was protecting David, because David was going to become the next king of Israel. And I feel that this is the way God works even within our own lives. When we're trying to, because at this time, when David was with the Philistines, David was backslidden. He really wasn't walking with the Lord. And yet the whole time, God was protecting David. Because God already had elected, chosen David to become the next king. And so David was led by the Lord, even though David didn't know it. And that's the way it is in our lives. Why we do things sometimes, and yet the Lord, notice, goes before us and changes our hearts and our minds and even our direction, because he loves us and he cares for us and he has a plan for your life. He can see further than we can see, you see? He's God. Verse 20. And when he went to Ziklag, those of Manasseh who defected to him were all these guys again. Verse 21. And they helped David against the band of raiders, for they were all mighty men of valor, and they were captains in the army. And now here, God was adding to David's army. Notice it is not David, it's the Lord adding to David's army. He says, for at that time they came to David day by day to help him, until it was a great army, like the army of God. I like that. The army of God. And you know, that's the way it is in the New Testament. The Lord adds to the church daily as many as need to be added to the church without any church programs. I love it. I love the way God works. And so many times people don't understand, you don't have to promote yourself. Promotion doesn't come from the east, west, or the south, or the north, but it comes from the Lord. The Lord is the one that raises up one and puts on the other. And David recognized that in his own life. He trusted in the Lord. And so we see all these things going on in his life. Verse 23. And now these were the number of the divisions that were equipped for war. And they came to David at Hebron to turn over the kingdom of Saul to him according to the word of the Lord. You see? So is this was according to the word of the Lord. So in verse 23, from verse 22 to 23, we jump 7 years now in history. And then verse 24, it says, and these are the sons of Judah. In 25, the sons of Simeon. In 26, the sons of Levi. In verse 27, Jehoiada, the leader. In verse 28, Zadok, a young man. And then 29, the sons of Benjamin, sons of Ephraim. And then 31, the half-tribe of Manasseh. And gives all the numbers of all the people that came to him in number. Verse 31 again, the Manasseh. And then the sons of Issachar, Zebulun, Naphtali, the Danites, and the Asher, of those who could go out to war, able to battle formation, 40,000. And then the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh, from the other side of Jordan, 120,000 armed for battle with every kind of weapon of war. Imagine that. And all these men of war who could keep ranks came to Hebron with a loyal heart to make David king over all Israel, and all the rest of Israel were of one mind to make David king. I love the scripture. Notice the Holy Spirit lets us know here that David was a faithful man to his men, and he had nothing but faithful men around him. I love it. But here we see that there's one mind, one heart. Verse 39. He says, and they were there with David 3 days eating and drinking, for their brethren had prepared for them. So they had this huge party. They were all happy. They had joy in their lives. They loved each other. And moreover, those who were near to them from afar away was Issachar and Zebulun, Naphtali, were bringing food on donkeys and camels and mules and oxen and provisions of flour and cakes of figs and cakes of raisins, wine, oil, oxen and sheep abundantly, for there was joy in Israel. Notice how beautiful this is as God blesses David. And yet everyone has joy. This is the result when God is working in the heart of the people. You see, they're not divided. There's joy. And that's what I love about the church today too. How God works in your hearts and works in my heart. There was no double-mindedness among the people. But we're all in one agenda, in one heart, one vision. Moving forward for the kingdom of God. And that's what David wanted to do. Serve God and love God with all of his heart. He was a man after God's own heart, the Bible says. Chapter 13 now. He says, and then David consulted with the captains of the thousands and hundreds and with every leader. And now we see that David here should have really consulted instead of with his leaders or captains. Here's another weakness in the life of David at the beginning of his ministry. With all of us, we learn by experience that instead of counseling with the Lord, he counseled with men. He should have gone to the Lord because he makes a great mistake here and it's going to cost him. Watch what it says. And David consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds and with every leader. And David said to all the assembly of Israel, if it seems good to you and if it is of the Lord our God, let us send out our brethren everywhere who are left in all the land of Israel, and with them the priests and the Levites who are in the cities of their common lands, that they may gather together unto us. So here David is thinking, you know what? The Ark of the Covenant was taken from us. And it would be really good to get the Ark of the Covenant back because it speaks of the presence of God. And everybody thought, wow, that's a good thing to do. Watch this. Let us bring the Ark of our God back to us, for we have not inquired at it since the days of Saul. Notice that. Here what happened is that it had been captured by the Philistines in the time of Saul. And the Philistines used to worship the god Dagon. He was half human, half fish. They literally used the Ark of the Covenant as a good luck charm. So David thought, you know, the Ark of the Covenant has been gone for a long time. Let's go get it. We need to bring it back. Verse 4. And then all the assembly said that they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. And I want you to underline that. Because how many times we agree with the people, but yet God hasn't spoken. You see, we need to be careful. That even though we are in agreement, that's good. But what does God say? Have we really sought the Lord for the decision that has to be made for the whole congregation? You see, to be united. Watch what happens. And so David gathered all of Israel together from Shihor and Egypt as far as to the entrance of Hamath to bring the Ark of God from Kirjath-Jearim. Verse 6. And then David and all Israel went up to Baalath of Kirjath-Jearim, which belongs to Judah, to bring up from there the Ark of the Lord God, who dwells between the cherubim and whose name is proclaimed. And so they carried the Ark of God on a new cart from the house of Abinadab and Uzzah and Ahio and drove the cart. Now, here they're going back to get the Ark of the Covenant, where not only the manna and the staff that brought it was inside of that and the Ten Commandments, and this was where the presence of God was. And they get these two oxen, they put them in front, and they build this little wagon, and they put the Ark of the Covenant, and they start bringing it back. And as they're bringing it back, in verse 8, and David and all Israel played music before God with all their might, and they were singing in their harps, and string instruments, and tambourines, cymbals, and trumpets, and they were having a great celebration. Watch what happens. This is incredible. Verse 9. And when they came to Chidon's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to hold the ark because the oxen had stumbled. And the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and he struck him and killed him because he put his hands on the ark and he died right before God. Can you imagine what was going through the minds of the people? Think of how many times people will die and people misjudge God. Let me kind of share here what happens here. God has a way that he's instructed each one of us in the Bible how to do things for God. Sometimes we try to do things for God according to what? According to the way we've been educated through seminary or through college or whatever it is. And we forget that God had told the people of God from the beginning of the building of the tabernacle and the Ark of the Covenant, God said this, when you carry the Ark of the Covenant, you carry it with two poles. It had rings through. You put the poles through the rings, and then you have guys put it on their shoulders, and you carry the Ark of the Covenant on your shoulders, but you don't carry it any other way. Why? Because then it's not God's way, but they were using the man's method of bringing the Ark of the Covenant. They were using the Philistines' methods, which they were not believers, and that's why God didn't do anything to them. But these are God's people. How many times churches are trying to promote their churches by using the methods of the world instead of trusting in the Holy Spirit and trusting in God? That's the lesson here. We have to be careful that whenever we're doing missions or pastoral work, or whatever it is, when it deals with the Bible, when it deals with God's work, it has to be the work of God. It is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6.
Today, as you consider the consequences that David faced when he deviated from God's instructions, we encourage you to evaluate your life to see if there are any areas that need to be realigned with the Lord's will. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Roel Reese. If you'd like to hear today's program again in its complete form, we'll send you a copy for a gift of $5 or more. Just call 800-634-9165 and ask for Roel's lesson from 1 Chronicles chapters 12 through 15. We'd also like to tell you about a resource from Roel titled The Full Armor of God. It's an 8-message audio pack that's available on your choice of CD or MP3 USB drive. In each lesson, you'll see how God has equipped you to break sinful habits and withstand temptations as you learn to follow the Spirit's leading. If you'd like to experience victory on the spiritual battlefield, contact us to order this helpful audio series. To make your purchase, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165 and ask for Roel's 8-lesson study titled The Full Armor of God. We'll send you this resource on either CD or MP3 thumb drive for a gift of $20 or more. Our number once again is 800-634-9165. Our mailing address, if you'd like to order by writing us, is Somebody Loves You Radio, Post Office Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. We've put together an assortment of resources to aid you in studying the Bible on your own. Download our app to your iPhone or Android for a variety of digital Bible studies and a personal scripture reading plan. To keep listening to Roel's teaching, you can also download each of these programs as podcasts when you go to Spotify or iTunes. And for an up-to-date discussion on world events from a biblical point of view, be sure to join Roel on his YouTube channel every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific for Straight Talk. As we continue to equip you for a lifetime of following Jesus, we welcome any thoughts you have on how we can better serve you or ways that we can pray for you. Thanks so much for your contributions. They are the lifeblood of this ministry and enable Roel's teaching to be heard around the world, bringing hope and restoration into the lives of people from every walk of life. Well, it's been a blessing to study the Bible with you today, and we'd love to have you join us next time as we quiet ourselves before the Lord and allow Him to speak to us through the pages of His inspired Word. Here's Roel now with a final comment.
Today, there are many churches incorporating the ways of the world into the church to promote the church and attract people and bring people into the church. And that's not really God's way. Those are the methods of men. We got to stick to the Word of God. We got to stick to what God says in His Word. And this is a good lesson for each one of us individually to understand here. That God had forbidden to touch the Ark of the Covenant. If anybody would touch it, no matter what, you would die. And yet, he tried to do a good thing, but went about it the wrong way. How many times we can do that? You're trying to do a good thing, but God says, that's not the way to do it. I already gave you instructions back in the book of Exodus how to carry the Ark of the Covenant. And David learned a big lesson that day.
I am falling in love with you.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.